number 12853, Coastal Properties LLC, care of George Elliott, seeks variances from the maximum building height, front yard, and corner front yard setback requirements for existing and proposed structures. Sections 115-34, 115-179, and 115-182 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the corner of Mercer Avenue and Riverview Avenue within the Orchard Manor subdivision. The 911 address is 33322 Mercer Avenue, Units 1 and 2 in Millsboro. The zoning district is MR. The tax map is District 234, Map 35.05, Parcel 150. The applicant is seeking the following variances: an 11.5-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for the existing dwelling along Riverview Avenue, an 18.3-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for an existing porch along Riverview Avenue, a 17-foot variance from 30-foot front yard setback for the existing porch along Riverview Avenue, and a 9.6-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback for the existing dwelling along Riverview Avenue, a 9.9-foot variance from the 15-foot corner front yard setback requirement for the existing dwelling along Mercer Avenue, a 10-foot variance from the 15-foot corner front yard setback for the existing dwelling on Mercer Avenue, a 9.9-foot variance from the 15-foot corner front yard setback for the proposed deck along Mercer Avenue, an 8.2-foot variance from the 15-foot corner front yard setback requirement for proposed steps along Mercer Avenue. We have 0 letters of support, 2 letters of opposition, and 1 mail return. And staff would like to note the maximum building height that was advertised is not needed per further review of that.
Good evening, Ms. P.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mackenzie P. I'm at the law firm of Saul Ewing, and I'm here this evening on behalf of Coastal Properties LLC, the applicant and owner of 333 Avenue in Millsboro, Delaware. I'll begin with a summary of the study.
I have to get used to that stuff.
Yeah, one thing before I forget. I was just going through, I want to make sure we got them right. Does the porch need a corner front, Ms. Norwood?
I have a total of 8 that are needed.
So we've got it here for on the corner front. It looks like there were 2 for the dwelling, 1 for the deck, and 1 for the steps. But I can't tell from the, because there's no drawing here, if that porch also needs one. It looks like it might be close.
I can explain that.
Okay.
So before I begin, so I'll address this again during my presentation, but if we're following along on the survey dated, it was 6/28/2023, that was date of original, and it was attached to my August 10, 2023 letter. If you're following from the left side of the property to the right and around the back. So starting with the measurement that shows 18.5 feet, there's a variance there for that corner of the existing dwelling. Then we've got the next variance is, it shows 11.7 feet distance. That's from the corner of the porch across the other side of the porch, on the opposite side of the porch there. That distance is 13 feet. Then we have from a corner front, the porch to Mercer Avenue is a 10 feet distance. Then you've got also the opposite side of the dwelling. There's also a 20.4 feet distance from the front yard setback there. Wrapping around the side, we've got the 5.1 feet distance for the proposed deck from the corner front. And then I think I might've just missed one. And then we also had a variance for the existing structure, the existing dwelling specifically from Mercer Avenue. Thereafter, as I just mentioned, the variance for the proposed deck and then variance for the proposed steps. And I will specify the distances in my presentation, and I counted 8.
I think I'm seeing 9. And
2, 3.
If I'm looking at it from that same corner you started with, the
okay.
dwelling to Riverview,
okay.
the porch to Riverview, then you go to the porch again to Riverview,
mm-hmm.
and the dwelling to Riverview.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you said that porch was 10 feet from Mercer, I think it would need a 5 foot unless it's...
So that's from the corner front though, which they're showing the setback there is 15, and that was per the setback verification that was submitted from planning and zoning.
Yeah, but the porch there, because there's no... I see the edge of the house is 5 feet from Mercer.
Right.
The porch appears to probably be 10 or 11 feet from Mercer.
The porch is 10.9 feet.
Okay, 10.9. So it would need a 4.1 foot from the corner front.
That's right.
So that would be the extra one. So that would be nine.
That's right.
Okay. So we need nine variances.
Well, where is your ninth, though? I only have, I have my six.
So you have the dwelling to Riverview. The two, basically you have two for the dwelling to Riverview, two for the porch to Riverview.
Four. Yep.
Then you have the dwelling to Mercer, the rear part of the dwelling to Mercer.
I see. You're adding the rear part of the dwelling to Mercer as well.
And then the deck.
Okay.
And then
understood.
The steps,
so nine in total. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. I just want to make sure we had it right.
Sure. I'm just making a note before I begin. If you can just give me 1 second. Okay. All right. So just to review the background and history of the site, the applicant purchased this property on May 3rd, 2023 with the intent of renovating the existing duplex for the ultimate rental of each unit. And this property is located in the medium residential district and in the area commonly known as Oak Orchard. The property is subject, as just discussed, to a 30-foot front yard setback, a 5-foot side and rear yard setback, a 15-foot front corner setback, and a maximum height of 42 feet. Title research suggests that the duplex was constructed in the 1980s and has remained at its current location since then. The community itself was plotted in the 1970s on a plat called Purnell's Addition to Oak Orchard, which is more fully shown in plot book 344, page 59, and I will submit a copy of that plot into the record now. And you'll note on that plan that the lot as it currently exists today includes lot 27 and then a portion of lot 26, all of which is noted in the legal description that's included as exhibit A in the deed. And it is reflected on the existing condition survey attached as Exhibit B. The existing duplex was constructed within the setbacks. And as other aerial exhibits confirm, as part of Exhibit D, this property is also located within the AE flood zone. So on July 5, 2023, the applicant submitted its initial application seeking variances in connection with the applicant's proposed renovation requiring the existing dwelling to be raised 9 feet above the base flood elevation of 8 feet. So prior to any renovation of the existing structure, the code, and specifically Article 18 on flood-prone districts, requires the structure to be raised to a height above base flood elevation because of its location in the AE flood zone, a special flood hazard area. Section 115-203 of the code governing alterations to non-conforming buildings provides that a building non-conforming only as to height, area, or bulk requirements may be altered or extended provided that such alteration or extension does not increase the degree of nonconformity in any respect. The Planning and Zoning Office confirmed its interpretation of this section of the code to mean that any change to bulk area requirements of a nonconforming structure necessitates variances of any encroachments of the existing structure into the setbacks and in any change in height to the existing structure. It was later determined that the variances only as to the setbacks were required, not as to the height of the structure that would otherwise be code compliant when raised. Therefore, there are a total of not six, but seven variances then in connection with the existing structure proposed to be raised above the base flood elevation. Those variances include a 11.5 feet variance from the 30 feet front yard setback for the existing and to be raised dwelling to be located 18.5 feet from the front property line. A 18.3 feet variance from the 30 feet front yard setback for the existing and to be raised again porch to be located 11.7 feet from the front property line. A 17 feet variance from the 30 feet front yard setback for the existing and to be raised porch to be located 13 feet from the front property line. A 4.1 feet variance from the 15 feet front corner Setback for the existing and to be raised porch to be located 10.9 feet from the property line running parallel with Mercer Ave. A 9.6 feet variance from the 30 feet front yard setback for the existing and to be raised dwelling to be located 20.4 feet from the front property line. And then the additional, as we just discussed, a 5.1 feet variance, 5.1 proposed location of the existing dwelling, and then a 10 feet variance from the 15 feet corner front setback for the existing and to be raised dwelling to be located 5 feet from the property line running parallel with Mercer. As a main takeaway, I ask that the board note that these 7 variances propose to locate the existing structure in the same exact footprint as it currently exists, but at a height increased above base flood elevation. On July 20th, 2023, the applicant amended its application as it was discovered that access to this access stairs to each unit would be located also within the corner front setback. The applicant submitted a final amendment to its application on August 10, 2023, seeking a modification to the requested stair setback and a third variance to accommodate an outdoor, what will be the first floor deck. Specifically, the applicant there seeks variances for the proposed stairs and an unenclosed open deck to locate the deck 5.1 feet, a variance of 9.9 feet from the 15 feet corner front yard setback, and the stairs at 6.8 feet, a variance of 8.2 feet from the 15 feet front corner setback from the property line running parallel with Mercer Avenue. You'll find the amended proposed condition site plan and architectural plans on the attachments to the August 10, 2023 submission, and the plans there show that the stairs are being proposed for access to each unit and the decks proposed to accommodate an outdoor space for future occupants. There was now 2 letters submitted into the record in opposition to the application. The first concerned objections to site visibility and corner visibility with respect to the deck and stair related variances. I would note that the deck and stairs, they're going to be constructed in a manner that's open and unenclosed, and we do not believe that there will be any further obstruction or any increased degree in obstruction of visibility than what currently exists. I know there was a late submission too that I reviewed right before walking in that noted concerns with, I believe, stormwater management as well as parking. To address the parking requirements first, there are going to be 4 spaces at least on the site that's code compliant. It would be 2 spaces per dwelling as existing. And then there are additional areas on the property that could accommodate additional parking. We could probably get 1 or 2 other spaces underneath the raised area where the deck is being proposed, as well as additional parking into the rear of the site if needed. With respect to the stormwater management questions, this application doesn't trigger any stormwater management, you know, regulations that maybe Sussex Conservation District or whomever would necessarily get involved with. The client may consider adding a French drain. They did acknowledge there is some pooling in the front of the property that is going to need to be addressed, but at this point doesn't have any specific plans, but will obviously need to do something at some point. So moving on from the points of opposition, as stated, all improvements are shown on the architectural plans designed by Mr. Dave Burkholder of Signature Drafting, and they were attached to my August 10, 2023 letter. The best visual conception of the improvements are shown on the cross sections labeled A102 and A103. So that this drawing right here gives you a great view of actually, if we could zoom in on that. It specifically shows, to the left of the plans, you'll see how the total base flood elevation and the increase in height overall, and then a nice cross section of what the improvements will look like. And then on the next page too, you'll also see additional images of what's being proposed here. So this board, pursuant to sections 115-209 and 211 of the code, is authorized to grant area variances that are requested before you tonight by this applicant. No such variance shall be authorized by this board unless it finds that the applicant has complied with the criteria that are more fully set forth in section 115-211B of the code. I intend to address the criteria of each variance collectively so as not to be repetitive, as the same facts really do apply to each requested variance. The applicant complies with the criteria because, first, the property is very unique as an existing substandard corner lot within the AE flood zone with a non-conforming duplex located thereon. The renovation to this older home cannot be accomplished within the strict conformity of the code, as the code requires the home to be built above base flood elevation, but at the same time does not permit any degree of change to the non-conforming structure without the variances pursued, specifically with respect to bulk area requirements of the code, even though the structure will remain more or less in its same footprint. The addition of the stairs and unenclosed deck additions permit access to the unit and proposes an outdoor space, which we believe is a reasonable use for future occupant enjoyment. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant because the applicant did not locate the existing non-conforming structure in its current location below base flood elevation or within the setbacks, and only seeks to make reasonable improvements to the structure by raising it above base flood elevation. Additional proposed improvements are proposed in their current location and designed to be centered on the back portion of the existing dwelling, and only seek to add stairs for access to each unit and a deck area for reasonable enjoyment of the property. The variances, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood for several reasons. First, this property and proposed improvements are consistent with other single multifamily residential homes near the site. I'll add that this entire area has been growing a lot, especially residentially, not only with single family dwellings, but also multifamily dwelling units. The applicant intends to improve the current condition of the dwelling by raising it above base flood elevation, improving it aesthetically, and by resolving other violations on the property, such as the existing shed and fence encroachments that are intended to be removed. And as stated, the visual obstruction concerns raised by the neighbor will be a non-issue with respect to the deck and stairs that will be constructed in an open and unenclosed manner. And then, as stated, the footprint of the existing structure will otherwise remain unchanged, so any existing degree of obstruction will not be increased. The variances are the minimum variances that will afford relief. With respect to the variances sought in connection with the requirements to raise the lowest floor level above base flood elevation, the footprint of the dwelling will remain the same, and the stairs and deck represent the least modification to accommodate safe access and reasonable enjoyment of the property. In conclusion, the applicant requests this board grant of each of its variance requests. I'll conclude my presentation and ask my client to come forward to be sworn by Mr. Sharp and to affirm the statements that I made, and then we'll answer any questions that the board may have.
Please state your name and address for the record.
George Elliott. My address is 30117 Pinecrest Drive, Ocean View, Delaware.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a few. The edge of Mercer Avenue, can you estimate how far that is from your property line?
Offhand, honestly, I can't.
Just looking at the survey, it sort of appears to be about 5 feet from the property line. Does that sound right to you?
We talking about the corner?
Yeah, so from here to here. I would say that's 5 feet appears to be a fair
pretty
estimate.
Close to being accurate, yes.
Yeah, roughly 5 feet. And then it looks like the edge of gravel for River actually crosses over the corner of your property to that utility pole. Does that sound right?
About here.
It does appear that the road encroaches onto the property.
You agree with that? Okay.
And I'm not sure there was anything, well, other than the original subdivision plan, but any sort of easement or anything like that. It's just something that's been there over time.
It's just, yeah. So
I don't think the title revealed any.
I mean, do you think your neighbors are sort of crossing over the corner of your property when they're turning there?
I do not.
You don't think they are?
No. I just left there myself when I came.
Okay.
Made the corner and took a look at it.
Okay.
Perhaps technically, but maybe not visually on site.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was just curious because when they complain about being able to see around the corner, it might make a difference if they were driving on your property or not.
Also, that porch that was there that was down, it's actually going to be up in the air. There's going to be more room there. But, I drive a Ford F-250. I didn't have any trouble.
Okay. When you purchased it, was it already a duplex?
Yes.
Okay. So the proposed deck on the rear, tell me about why that's needed.
I just think it, honestly, it's going to enhance the property. I think you have a great view. Doesn't obstruct anybody else's view. You're going to be able to see right through it. I'm not enclosing it in any way. For safety reasons, when you walk out the door, whether you had a small landing or had a nice deck out there, I think it's a win-win situation, honestly.
Accommodates reasonable use of the property.
And you'd be able to park underneath of it.
The size 18 by 36, how did you arrive at that size?
That's what was recommended by the architect.
Okay, by the draftsman, gotcha. Okay. Are you going to be using any of the existing footings under the house? Or are you putting new footings?
I was planning on putting on new footings.
All new footings.
It's compromised now.
Okay. When you
excuse me, I'm not even sure there really is a footing there.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would wonder. When you raised the house, did you consider or put any thought into whether you could move it over against your side yard setback? Would that be something that's feasible or not?
Not with existing utilities.
I don't know about with existing utilities and existing neighbors. I mean, we're pretty close to the fence on the other side now.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else on this property that we should know about, like trees or tanks or anything else that?
Nothing buried that I know of, and I've already demolished the existing shed and the fence that they asked me to.
Okay. Is it public water and sewer?
It is public water and sewer, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
When you spoke of four parking spots, was that two under the unit and two in the driveway?
So there's two spaces under the garage, under what will be, so two per unit under the garage areas to be constructed. And then you can actually have an additional space, we believe, underneath the raised and elevated deck. And then I was stating that there's additional room for parking in theory behind the site as well. We haven't laid out the parking, but there is enough space to accommodate at least four, which the code requires.
Park right next to the deck as well, mm-hmm. as park under the deck.
Any homeowners association down there? You talk to your neighbors?
Be honest with you, a lot of them, you know, it's been an eyesore for years. They tell me they're just happy to see it getting done. So it surprised me when I seen the two letters. I've had everybody approach me excited. I did have one person, what did I tell you? They asked me, you know.
Oh, if they were making it a halfway house.
I had to chuckle with the rumors going around. But I leave everybody my number on the street. If there's any issues, please call me.
Right. Okay, good. What's the total height of the house going to be to the peak? Do you know yet?
Offhand, I don't, without looking at it.
The architect didn't, unless I do math really quickly, but there's multiple different addition numbers. But the cross-section on A102 shows what the actual height of the building will be, but it doesn't have a measurement to the peak of the roof, so I can't confirm that right now. It'll be less than 42 feet, though.
Mr. Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, Mr. Elliott, did you hear the statements made by your attorney?
I did.
Do you believe those to be true and correct?
I do.
Looking at this drawing, this deck is almost as large as the footprint of the house.
Well, it's as long, which I thought matched the structure of the house. The width, I mean, it was wider, but that's what the architect recommended with the property.
One of the concerns raised by the opposition dealt with drainage and stormwater. And when I look at the survey of what's currently existing versus what you're proposing to do, it would appear that you're adding a substantial amount of surface on the property, whether it be decking or these steps as compared to what existed previously. Have there been flooding issues on this property?
There's the standing water's on the opposite side of where the deck is, so there's really not an issue where the deck is. It's on the other side of the street, that's right, where the smaller deck is, where the garage is on.
But aren't you covering some areas that are currently uncovered at the moment with the deck? I guess that the concern here, if I'm reading the neighbor's concern is that the water with what you're doing here has got to go somewhere. It's not, like, right now it's going to go in theory into the ground or drain, and you're taking away that area by padding a structure there.
Well, the deck's going to, I mean, the rainwater will go right through the deck.
And then through the ground. It's not as though it'll be
like
additional impervious coverage.
I'm not putting any rain decking underneath. It'll go right through the deck and into the ground.
And you had, Mr. Warfel had asked you a question, and I'd still like to hear the answer on it, about being able to pick, you know, you're moving you're elevating the house. When I look at your site plan here, the one that Ms. Pete was referencing, the building envelope goes to, looks like, the south corner of your property. And there's quite a bit of this structure that's not, you know, it's nowhere near that corner. Is there a reason why you're not moving it more to that corner and away from this intersection of River and Mercy?
I know when I talked with Mr. Burkholder that we had discussed, first of all, the existing structure was centered on this site and it's been there for quite some time. But with respect to, my understanding was cost prohibitive, just in terms of relocating it further towards the adjacent property owner and rear on the site with respect to removing utility connections, et cetera. But he's not here to speak to that.
Okay. Is there a reason why a smaller deck wouldn't work, or one that would fit within the building envelope?
You know,
I know that what we actually did discuss this too, that the proposed deck is actually going to have, there's going to be equal sides of the deck on each unit that's benefiting, you know, each unit here. And then they were putting, it was really a design consideration, and then separating it with a, you know, some sort of party wall down the middle. It was a design consideration to allow for reasonable outside space for each unit. Yes, the total area looks large, but when you think about it, it's really half of that area for each unit.
I guess I look at it as you've got a lot that's under 4,000 square foot on a corner, and you're going to have two dwelling units on there and a really large deck. So I think that was the, reading the opposition's letters, that seemed to be the two issues they had, was visibility on the intersection, which...
But that deck will be raised, and then you can still, you know, see through that.
I mean,
in
there's
theory.
Nothing on the intersection where that deck will hinder anything.
I understand, but I also recognize that these people got to park somewhere, they've got to go somewhere, and some of the area that they is currently open is now not open. Going to be a deck that's going to be elevated, and you said that there's going to be parking underneath it.
You have the option to park there, or you can park on the side of it.
Okay. All right. There's no further expansion, as I see it, from the house and the porch and the front yard. Is that right? It's going to be the same distance
same
as it currently is. And there's no steps off of that porch that wouldn't need a variance either. Is that
access
correct?
Through the steps as proposed.
Okay. All right. I wanted to make sure that was on the record. And is there an HVAC at all that's going to be, where is that going to be located?
It's actually shown on the cross section A102, and it's going to be located
within the setbacks?
Yep.
Within
yes.
the building envelope?
Yeah, within, there's a platform that's specifically shown that's going to be underneath where the deck is proposed.
Okay. I think Ms. Hollis pulled it up, so I think we got it there.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure we had it on the record that that was being accounted for also. All right, I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I actually have one other question, or maybe a couple more. The shed in the rear, 12 foot by 22 foot, you say that's already been removed? And it looks like there was a large overhang beyond that. Is that also true? Okay, so.
That's where you can really park all the parking where that was.
Is that now just soil or is there a slab there? Okay.
There is a partial slab in the yard, which I plan on removing.
Okay, so then that'll all be able to take the water?
Yes.
And there are, like we said, there will be, you know, some consideration for addressing the water in the future.
Okay.
It's not a full slab. It's really almost like a large sidewalk for that they had under the underhang. They didn't have anything in the garage area.
Okay. How many cars will fit underneath of this new dwelling?
So the code requires that you have it would be two units per dwelling, and there should be able to be two under each garage area.
I think you could park two under there easily, and I think you could park two next to it.
Okay. When you were told that it was cost prohibitive to move the house, were you just going off of the word of the draftsman, or did you do any research yourself?
I was going off of the draftsman and the I guess, you know, I did discuss moving it and raising it with the expert movers.
Okay. Did you talk to them about potentially moving it?
We discussed it going straight up. Pretty much, because after I talked to Mr. Burkholder, I went to him for the cost of what it was going to cost.
Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Does that conclude your presentation, Ms. Pete?
Yes, unless there are any other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 12853 for Coastal Properties LLC and Mr. George Elliott and entertain a motion.
Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12853 for Coastal Properties LLC. For the request of variance pending a final written decision, the property does have unique physical conditions. Due to such physical circumstances or conditions, there is no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Variance represents the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
May I have a second? Seeing none, I guess the motion dies.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve in part and deny in part case number 12853 for Coastal Properties LLC. The approved would be all the variances for the existing dwelling and for the original location of their steps, but not the variances for the new proposed deck. I'm not convinced that a deck that size is a need. The decision is pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. The property has unique physical conditions. The fact that it's a small corner lot due to the flooding in the flood zone. Due to such physical circumstances or conditions, there's no possibility the property can be developed in strict conformity with Sussex County Zoning Code, and the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And it represents the minimum necessary to afford relief. Is my motion clear or not?
The only thing I was unclear on was the steps, Mr. Warfel.
They originally had the steps up against the house before they put that proposed deck in. I still wanted to allow them to have steps on the rear of the house.
Okay, so basically where the steps would be from Mercer, if they were up against the house rather than against the deck, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, thank you for clarifying.
So that was a motion to approve all the variances for the existing dwelling and then not for the proposed deck.
Correct.
And also for the existing porch that's to be, and when you say existing, it's elevated as proposed. So it's the variances for the existing dwelling as elevated, the porch as elevated, and the steps from the corner front to the rear of the dwelling.
Right.
Do we have a second? All right. Mr. Williamson?
I'll second it.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye, for my reasons.
Mr. Hastings?
Nay.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
And I vote nay as well. So with a vote of 3-2, sir, your case is partially approved and partially denied. Thank you.